Understand what that means, right, Brother Jim? Brother Jim and I were talking Tuesday night. If you believe the world, listen to me, if you believe the world, you wouldn't invite anybody to church. Oh, less than 30% of the people are going to church. That's what we're going to talk about today. But I ask you this, church, what is faith? The evidence of things what? Not seen. You have to have faith and ask somebody to come to church. You have to have faith to ask somebody to come. Lily has had faith beyond faith. She's never been to church like this. Yet she can't stop asking her friends, come to church. You ought to come to church. And they're coming. Chipper came to church. He'd never been to church. He was never in church. And he comes one Sunday and he says, I'm going to keep coming back. Because he liked it. My friend Roger and his daughter, they're going to be coming again as soon as the weather, and our cousin, my cousin. But they came because Lily said, come to church. She's not afraid. Amen? She's not letting the world tell her what to do. Which one of these is not one of Noah's sons? Morning, Elder. Which one of these is not one of Noah's sons? Shem, Abel, or Ham? How many, which one of these is not? Shem? Anybody Abel? Anybody Ham? We gave her this credit. Abel, of course, wasn't one of his sons. Anybody the third name, the third son?
Yeah.
Japheth. That's a tough name. J-A-P-H-E-T-H. Don't name anybody that. I don't realize I shouldn't say it. Praise God. Who rescued Peter from Herod's prison? This is very interesting. Who rescued Peter when he was in Herod's prison? Was it Paul and Silas? Was it an angel of the Lord? Or were the guards just let him go? Who rescued Peter? How many think it was Paul and Silas that rescued Peter? Anybody? How many think it was an angel of the Lord? How many think it was the guards that opened the door for Peter? The angel of the Lord woke Peter up and led him away. Praise God. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute, Deacon Sergio. If an angel of the Lord came to you, Peter knew who he was, amen? But if an angel of the Lord ever came to you, Deacon, right? If it came to me, I'd probably be like shaking out of my boots, right? See, that's the, you got to be spiritually, now not David, of course, if David came to the Lord of David, he'd say, how you doing? But think about that. The angel of the Lord came and woke him up and opened up the gates and let him free. Now, I think it's a great story. This is a good one. I like this one. In 1 Samuel, in which town does Saul find a witch? King Saul, looking for a witch. In which town does he find, that's hard to say. In which town does he find a witch? Is it Ziklag, Z-I-K-L-A-G? Is it Nob or is it Endor? In which town does King Saul find a witch? How many think it's Ziklag? Great name. How many think it's Nob? Anybody Nob? How many think it's Endor? Endor? Good guys. It's a great story in 1 Samuel. Samuel had passed away. King Saul was praying to God for a message, and God wasn't answering him anymore. And King Saul went to his prophet, and his prophet didn't get an answer anymore. See, so now he's really scared. He's got a battle, and he's not hearing from God. So he goes to Endor to meet a medium. He sees this medium. Now here's the problem he has. He had banned all that stuff. He had put a death sentence on anybody that was a medium. So he goes in disguise to this woman, this medium, and said he needs a witch. And she said, oh, you know, King Saul, he said, I can't do that anymore. He said, no, no, it's okay. It's okay, you can do that. So she calls up the spirit of Samuel. And when she calls up the spirit of Samuel and she sees Samuel, right away she realizes that the man there is Saul himself. And that's, and it's pretty fun. It's a pretty great story. And so Saul gets to talk to Samuel. And Samuel said, no, you're done. You're done because you didn't listen to God. You didn't do what God said. You were absolutely done. But that's it's kind of a cool story. He went to Endor. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 28. Want to go home and read it. It's pretty. He got a disguise and he went to the medium. Who was being stoned when he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God? This is a beautiful story. In the book of Acts, who was being stoned when he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God? How many think it was James? How many think it was Peter? Anybody want to say Stephen? Anybody Stephen? So I'll say one more time. James, anybody James? We got a James. How about Peter? Anybody think it was Peter? Or was it Stephen? Of course it was Stephen. The heavens opened up and Jesus, he saw Jesus at the right hand of God just before they stoned him. And what did he say to God? Forgive them for what they do. Sounds like what Jesus said on the cross. He saw heaven open. And the Bible said he just fell asleep. And Jesus took him. But he looked up and saw Jesus in heaven. Isn't that amazing? You see what God does for his people? Who are his people? Please raise your hand. Who loves God this morning? Please raise your hand. Let God see that. Let the world know that there are people who love him. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Miss Jean, I heard something last night, and I told my wife you wouldn't be happy with it. I'm just, you know, seeing you this morning. There was a man who spoke in Texas last month, and had a bigger crowd than some guy named Elvis. And when they announced it on TV last night, I said to my wife, Gene's not going to be happy with that. Anybody that goes around having a bigger crowd than Elvis. But they said there were 80,000 people there to see him last month. Bigger than any crowd that ever saw Elvis Presley. I can't tell you what his name was.
It wasn't Elvis.
That's my wife, she'll tell you gladly later. Just make America great again. Oh, I thought it was really, they said that and I thought it was pretty funny. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Drop my glasses and I can't find them. Isn't that awful if you drop your glasses and look down and you can't find them? Zippy, do you wear glasses? You do? I never seen you with glasses.
You're reading glasses.
Just to read.
Oh, reading glasses. Greg said the other day to Zippy, I hope I have as much energy as you have at your age. We love you, Zip. Are you going to be with us next week for the jam? Good job.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
That's right.
I want you to know before you start arguing with me this morning that everything I'm going to read to you are letters and words written in red. And who said the words written in red?
Jesus.
So if you got a problem with what I'm going to read to you, you take it up with Jesus. You leave your pastor alone. We're going to go through the Gospels. First one is Mark 6:11. And Jesus says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Let me read that again because I want you to understand. He said, whoever will not receive you nor hear you. Two things, amen? How many things do? Receive or what? Good job. When you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. If you stay any longer than that, what are you, anybody? You're out of the will of God. A preacher's job is not to change people's minds. How many know that to be true? My job is to not change your mind. My job is to simply preach the word, give you the message. If the message is not received, we must do what?
Move on.
Move on. We didn't create the message. I didn't create the message. I carried the message. When you give somebody the message, what are you doing? You're carrying the message. You're a light in darkness. Can I have an amen? Imagine that. Now listen to this, please. Understand what Jesus is saying. Those seeking something more, will see the light and reach for it with all their hearts. If you go to somebody who's hungry, who's alone, lost, afraid, waiting for the messenger, they may be praying right this minute for the answer. Understand what he's saying. You don't have time to wait for somebody. It's not your job to change their mind. It's not your job to stand there and argue with them. It's your job to preach the word, to give them the hope, because they may be seeking it right this minute. People are seeking it, and you're standing in a place where Jesus said they didn't what? Receive it. He said two things. Will not receive you, excuse me, or what? Hear you. Depart from there. Again, we didn't create the message. We carry the message. Amen? There's a big difference. And when you stand there and you fight with people and you stay longer than you're supposed to, you're out of the will of God. You're not in line with prayer. That's very serious. Don't take it up with me. You take it up with Jesus, because he told us what we need to do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Matthew 10. Verse 16. Behold. I like that. Jesus saying that. That's a big word, right? Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Let me read that again. You're going to take it up with the Lord. Matthew 16:10 says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as what? Doves. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Who's telling us this, church? Jesus. Good. He says, be wise, yet be gentle and harmless. Interesting. Wisdom will keep you safe. This is the truth. If you have God's word inside of you, that wisdom will keep you safe. Wisdom will show you how to avoid trouble. God, Jesus, is telling us about the trouble. Now, here's the thing I want you to really understand and get in your heart. Harmless as doves. Why do we have to be that way? Because it will keep you from being tempted to retaliate. Oh. How many here like to retaliate? Anybody? Brother Jimmy, you okay? We got to love you, man. How many like to retaliate? So much for being harmless as doves. Don't get mad at me now. The next time you get on Facebook or you want to scream at somebody, when you start, when Jesus is tapping you on the back, shh. Harmless as doves will keep you from being tempted to retaliate. But they passed the tempted a long time ago. Jesus prepares us to see persecution, and he tells us how to avoid it. To not waste our efforts for no gain. What kind of gain? No gain for you. No gain for me. No gain for God and the church. Whose church? Your church. When you go out and you want to fight with people and you miss that, and you miss the being harmless and being wise as a serpent, you're wise as a serpent means you don't argue with them. You don't retaliate. You just leave. You just do what he tells you to do, because he's preparing you for all this. He's showing you how to deal with it. He's showing us what to do. Remember this, church. Please remember this. They're not refusing you. Anybody ever give somebody a word of God and they didn't hear it? They're not refusing you. You didn't make up the message. They're refusing God. They're refusing the word. That's what they're doing. So don't be upset. Don't retaliate. There's no need to, because it's not you. They're not doing anything against you. They're doing it against who? God. So beautiful. So here's the thing. Why are we reading this? So you're not surprised. It will be confirmation of everything we have learned. When you go to people and you have to do that in the way, say, it's confirmation. You say, hey, Jesus is telling me in the Gospels about this. And this is exactly what he's talking about. And now I'm seeing it and I'm living it. How many want to be victorious? Truly, how many want to be victorious? Thank you, Lord. John 16. We're staying in the Gospels. Words written in red. If Jesus were standing here right now, this is what he'd be saying. These are his words. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Wow. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? These are Jesus' words. And he's telling us these words so we don't stumble. Who doesn't stumble? Us. How many have ever stumbled? Come on, tell the truth. Tell the truth this morning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Listen to what he says. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Wow. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. He said, but these things I have told you, when the time comes, you may remember that I told you them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So he's telling us this, why? So that we're aware of it. Amen? This is John 16, 1. So that we shouldn't do what, church?
Stumble.
He doesn't want you to stumble. How many knows he wants you to have good success? Come on. God wants you to have good success. And they will, this is amazing. They will put you out of the synagogues. And yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he has offered God service. That you should not be made to stumble. Here's where it goes. False prophets, false teachers, coming against the word of God. Have anybody heard that lately? Changing, twisting the pure word to another idea. Coming against those who teach, this is important, listen to this. Coming against those who teach the word as one who now speaks for God and ministers for God. A new way. Anybody hear the new ways? I've heard the new ways. And they're coming saying that they are now speaking for God. They're speaking for the Bible. And those of us that stand on the word of God, we need to be put out. Because we're teaching the wrong word. And they're going to put us out of the church. Because they have a new way. A new idea. Hallelujah. Come against those who teach the word as one who now speaks for God and ministers for God. I wrote that down, a new way. And then I wrote what Jesus said. They do not know the Father nor Jesus. I want you to listen to the scripture. It's in your bulletin. 2 Timothy, verse 4. Listen to this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Amen? Who's telling us this? Jesus is telling us this. Who told us that? Timothy. Paul told us that. Not God's way, but man's way. Pick and choose what we like. Then we never have to change or grow. Isn't that interesting? If you start to pick and choose what you like out of the Bible, and you just put away the things you don't like, you never have to change, amen? Your spirit doesn't have, you never have to change your thoughts. You just do what you want to do. Hosea 4:6, it's in your bulletin. Let me read this to you. I love this one. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. My people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the word of God and you're fooled by this, you're going to perish. If you don't have that knowledge, amen? Can I get an amen? Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. Truth and mercy. Not personal opinion. I'm sorry, but not personal opinion, but truth and mercy. True wisdom and understanding always begins with the knowledge of God. Don't be quiet. That's beautiful. True wisdom and understanding always begins with the knowledge of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The highest of goals, whatever your dreams are, your life, your love, your peace, your joy, a philosophy, the highest of these goals that guide us and lead us and keep us is the name, the nature, the person, the word of, the actions of, and the existence of the great God we call Father. The highest of goals that you ever want to achieve, you achieve them with God. You achieve them with the word of God, the message of God, the knowledge of God. Everything that you want in your life, the highest of all these feelings, the greatest philosophy would be those that have the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. The nature, the person, the words of the great God we call Father. Without God, truth and mercy will fade. Didn't that scare anybody? You see that in the world, amen? You see things you don't believe in the world. No restraint. Restraint will be a thing of the past. No rules, no laws, no boundaries. We must all be ready. How many are ready this morning? How many think they're ready this morning? I'm not sure, huh? That's pretty cool. I'm glad. I mean, that's good. John 4. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. John 4:35. I'll read it one more time because it's beautiful. Hallelujah. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You see what Lily's doing? She's seeing the field ripe for harvest. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. That's what she's doing. And he who reaps receives wages, and it gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. You're saving lives. You're going to rejoice together. You're lifting people out of the pit. You're going to rejoice together. You're bringing people to salvation. You're both going to rejoice because you both win. That's the way God does it. For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Either way, you both win. If you're the sower or the reaper, you both win. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. That's beautiful. Others have labored, and you have entered into that labor. That's interesting. So he's saying, lift up your eyes. It is ready. What's ready, church? What's the harvest? Wait a minute. The world says, Jim, we talked about this Tuesday night. The world says only 30% of the people are going to God. That's what the world says. How many believe the world? Don't raise your hand. No, I'm telling you. Because if you believe the world, you won't talk to anybody. It's a waste of time. There's nothing to be gained by telling anybody about God because nobody's going to church. But I ask you again, what is faith? The evidence of things not seen. So we either have to start believing the world or start believing Jesus. Because he's telling us that the harvest is what?
Ready.
Become reapers. Pray and seek. God will lead you. He will lead both of us, all of us. Those ready to receive, there's people out there ready. Lily proved that to you. Chipper never came to church, and he came to church and received. Rob never came to church, and she's not afraid to say, come to church. Because there's something here, evidently, that touches her. Amen? Can you imagine if we had 50 lilies in our church and that 50 lilies asked 50 people to come to church and half of them came? There'd be 25 more people here. Why is she the one doing it? Amen? Become reapers. There are people ready to receive. And here's a very important thing, and I'm going to say it. I said it in the first one with Mark. Stop trying to change people's minds. That's not your job. You don't have to change your mind. You're a light. Any ever been in darkness and you see the light, you're drawn to the light. Their rewards will be your rewards. Those who sow and those who reap may rejoice together. What does that mean? Listen, someone else may have planted a seed you don't know about. Somebody else might have prayed and you didn't know about that. Somebody else might have prayed for a friend or a family member. Anybody here ever prayed for your friend or family member? Praise God. My son lives in Arizona. He doesn't go to church. I try. So you know what I pray? Lord, send somebody that he'll listen to. Because he won't listen to Dad. Dad's too close. Dad's too many things. Dad made too many mistakes in life for him to listen to Dad. So my prayer has to be what Jesus is saying. Somebody go to my son because the harvest, he's ready. His life isn't what I think it should be. He doesn't have everything God wants for him in his life. I'm praying my son find Jesus, find the Bible, and change his life with his two boys, and his girlfriend becomes his wife. Because nothing good, God cannot bless you until you do the right things. How many know that's true? When John married Anne Marie, God said, I can bless you out of your socks now because you did what I called you to do. So I pray that the harvest is ready in Phoenix and somebody goes to my son. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. If they have it in their heart and they hate Matthew, how are you doing? Hey, why don't you come to church with me? Hallelujah! You see, somebody else, I'm praying. You see, I'm planting a seed. I'm planting a seed with God. I'm believing. I need somebody else to do the work. Thank you, Lord. Let me read that again. It's so beautiful. Someone else may have planted the seed. You may talk to somebody this afternoon. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just say, hey, we got a really nice church. We have some really nice things going on. Why don't you come some Sunday? And leave it there. You're not changing their mind. You're feeding them. Maybe they needed to hear that. I've mentioned this so many times, but this is Jesus today. Someone else may have planted the seed and prayed for a friend or a family member. You all been doing that. Your word, your touch may be all it takes. It may be the last thing it takes to bring somebody to salvation. And when you bring somebody to church and they find God and they have salvation, who wins? Both of you win. That song that we sing, amen, about coming to church. I thank God somebody asked me to come to church. And then I met Jesus when I came to church. And I met salvation when I came to church. My life changed when I came to church. How many can say that? I've had friends in this church, and David and I talked about to some of the people that have been here. My friend George Marsh with Elaine. Remember Elaine? We called her, what was that nickname that Jerry gave her? It was Woodstock. Because she had the Woodstock haircut. Beautiful lady. David knew, I knew George since I was a teenager. If I asked him when I was 20 years old to come to church, he would have blew me off like the wind. If I asked him when he was 30 and 40 to come to church, he'd have done the same thing. But let me tell you, the one when he finally came to this church, your church, this building right here, amongst all you people, he never missed a Sunday. Something happened to him when he came here. He never missed a Sunday. It's because of me? No. It's because of you. It's because of what he felt here. George Mako. We all talk about George Mako. Good old George Mako. Could pick on everybody in church. And Jim, I don't know if you ever met him, but he'd drive you to drink in 5 minutes. He just drive you. But he never missed a Sunday. Him and Pat. He always said how wonderful it was. He was still a pain in the you know where, right, Art? But he came to church and it changed who he was.
Sort of.
You may be that last touch. You can say to yourself, well, really, I've asked 1,000 people to come. So, what's wrong with 1,001? Maybe you'll get 3 in a row after that. Maybe you know you're gonna miss the first 1,000, and all of a sudden the next 3 in a row come to church. You'll forget the other 1,000, amen? You know, the greatest of baseball players, how many like baseball? Thank you, Lord. The greatest of all baseball players that ever bat and hit the ball makes 7 outs out of every 10 at-bats. If they make 7 outs out of every 10 at-bats and only get 3 hits per 10 at-bats, they're in the Hall of Fame. They get 3 hits for every, they bat 300. They make 7 outs, but they get those other 3 hits, and they're in the Hall of Fame. So you might have asked a lot of people, maybe you spent too much time on people. I know we all did that. But Jesus is saying the harvest is ready. He needs the workers. And he said that there's people out there that have labored for them that we didn't know anything about. But he's saying, go get them, go ahead. They did all the work. They planted the fields. The crop is ready. They did all the watering. Jim knows about farming. They did all the work with everything. But now it's ready. Go ahead and get it. I'll give her a reward for going to get it. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. But it may be your word, your touch may be all it takes. So I wrote this down. If you agree with this, please say amen nice and loud. If you don't say amen. When someone is hungry, they will eat. When somebody's lost, they will run to you. When somebody's afraid, they will follow you. They have reached the time of harvest. Workers, reapers in the harvest. Others have planted. Other people have prayed for the people you're going to meet today. You're going to meet tomorrow, and you're going to meet the day after that. You're going to go to a store, wherever you're going. You got friends, you got family. Maybe you've been afraid to say something. Maybe they've been waiting. Others have planted, which means they prayed. Other people have watered, means that they shared the word with somebody. So it says, be bold and be eager, because the crop is ready. And here's the thing you need to do. You need to understand this. You need to expect it, to believe it, because blessings await for you. How many want blessings from God? You all say, I want blessings from God. That's how you get them. You go get people and bring them to God. You receive a blessing. How many want it? I want it. Thank you, Lord. Be bold and you rejoice together. I say, yes, you can. I say, I believe. One-on-one with others. Sometimes going to church, sometimes being in the church isn't where it starts. It starts in the grocery store. It starts on the telephone. It starts somewhere that you met somebody, a family member you haven't spoken to. It starts somewhere else when you're one-on-one saying, hey, I got this thing going on in my life that's working for me. Acting on faith. Jesus said, he said to do what? Go out. He said to, what did he say? Go out. We had a wonderful Bible study Tuesday night. How many were there? It was wonderful. And we talked about the blind man. Jesus, Deacon Sergio, healed the blind man. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know it. And Jesus went to him and put the salve and the mud on his eyes. Amen? He did all that. But he did one other thing, Jim. What did he do? He told the man he had to do something. He said, I put the saliva and the mud on your eyes. He said, now that I did that, you go to the pool and wash your eyes out. And when you wash your eyes out, you'll see. He had to do something. Just like we have to do, ready? Something. He's saying, go out, the harvest is ready. You want to receive a blessing from God? It's waiting there. It's got big flashing neon lights. Here I am. Bring somebody to your church. Bring somebody to the Spirit. Bring somebody to the Word of God. And you change their life. And as you change your life changes. Because you both receive. Thank you, Lord. quiet faith. I wanted to come down here and finish. They've reached a time of harvest. How many want blessings from God? He's telling us we need to do something. Just like the man at the pool, Gene, what did he have to do? He had to go and wash. He had to do something. Do you all believe you have the truth inside of you? It's between, it's not an open question, it's between you and God. Do you believe that you bring hope to other people with the word of God? If you don't believe that, then you need to talk to God. But if you believe that you have the truth, if you believe that the Bible is the truth and you have it in you, how many would believe that? If you'd raise, how many, I don't want you to raise your hand, I want people to see, but do you believe you have hope that other people don't have? Hallelujah. It's got to come from inside of you. Amen? What I'm talking about today has got to come from inside of you. Your spirit, your joy, and your peace. You know why? Because it should be evident. People should see that. Amen? That should be enough. They should see your spirit. They should see that light. Don't tell me that Lily knows more than everybody does. But she believes. She has faith. And she doesn't care what people think. And she has brought two people to church that never came to church before. Again, you are the light or not. And I close with this. If you don't believe you have the truth, neither will they. If you don't believe you bring hope, neither will they. If you don't believe in the word of God, neither will they. If you don't believe in your church, neither will they. The harvest is ready. The world is saying, old people aren't going to church. I'm standing here this morning as your pastor. We got a small turnout. I'm standing here saying, let's prove the world wrong. Let's prove the world for what it is, a liar from the pits of hell. Satan's territory. Let's prove them wrong. The Bible said the harvest is ready. I see somebody, I would say, come to church. Come visit with us. Don't be your people on Facebook, put it down. You got a lot of other things on Facebook. Oh, by the way, we have a nice little church. Come visit us. Somebody on Twitter say, hey, we have a nice little church family. Come visit us. He keeps it for an hour. The pastor keeps us for an hour of your Sunday morning, and everybody has fellowship, and then Marilyn brings sandwiches. We go downstairs, we eat, we drink coffee, we eat donuts. We're going to have a jam next week. But if you don't believe in the word of God, neither will they. And if you don't believe, you bring hope. Neither will they. And this is your family, too. We've done it to our own families. I did it to my family. I made mistakes when I was a young man and caused my family to be what it was. But now I believe. I need people, I need reapers. I need people to go out to get the harvest. This church, I believe in this church. We've been here 11 years now. Become 11 years. We don't have 100 people like we thought we'd have. We don't have 75. But I think we have a most beautiful family. How can I say no to the family that we have? Yeah, I know Marianne and Jim aren't here today, and Jenny and Norman aren't here today, and Emery's not here today. But I know those people come, they fill up the church. One person at a time. But Satan's a liar. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He said to go. The harvest is ready. Give him praise, church. I believe. The Lord's Supper. Some people say we should do it once a month. That's what some churches once a month. I say do it every day.
That's right.
You do unto God. I go into God every day. I tell God I love him every day. I worship and thank him every day. I know I'm sick, but I say I know I'm sick, but I love you and I worship you. And it's just who I am. He took this. Jesus took this time to share it with us. He took the bread, blessed it, and said, this is my body going to be torn for you. He rips the bread, said, here. And he passed it around, said, here, eat. When you eat this bread, please do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Forgive us for our iniquities this morning, Father. Forgive us for our actions, our words, our worries, our doubts, anything that separated us from the Spirit of God, anything, Lord, that wasn't given to us by the Spirit, Lord, forgive us that we accepted any of that this morning, Lord. We stand in your house on this cold, cold Sunday morning when we turned the clocks ahead, had every reason to stay in bed and stay warm, but we chose to come to your house this morning. To receive, Lord, so thank you. You cleanse us and give us forgiveness, Lord, so we receive the sacrament of your blood. As you poured the wine into a cup, he said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Words written in red. He said, drink and do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. I know you all love the Word of God. I know you do. But I ask you again, do you believe that you have the truth? Do you believe that you bring hope where there is no hope? Do you believe you bring light where there is nothing but darkness? The world is telling us that it's a dark place, but I say we have the light. And those who want it will be drawn to that light. Those who are hungry for it will come and grab onto that light. Those who are lost will come to the light to be found, to have hope beyond what they ever thought, to have prayers answered that they ever thought, to change their lives. We know it's not easy to be a Christian. Can I have an amen, church? How many know Christians go through things that are just as impossible? There's nothing different in our lives about what we face and what we see. The impossibilities that we have to deal with every day. But just imagine for one second doing all that without Jesus. All the things that you face in your life, the troubles and tribulations that you have to this day, imagine what it would be like if you didn't have the family of God with you, if you didn't have the Word, if you didn't have that extra hope that surpasses your understanding, that one extra thing that keeps you sane, keeps you standing up, keeps you looking forward. That one thing that the world says doesn't exist anymore, but you have it. I see people on TV all the time, very wealthy, millionaires, giving up their lives, committing things, just ending their life because they had nothing else. They had everything in life that they wanted. They wake up every day and buy whatever they wanted to buy, but they woke up in darkness. We don't have anybody here that are billionaires or millionaires, but we have people here who are living lives that have to deal with darkness. Can you imagine not having Jesus to walk with, to hold on to lean on to grab onto sometimes? Just screaming at him sometimes and begging him, said, Lord, help me. But that keeps you right there. That say, Lord, help me, on your knees and grab him. That keeps you right there. That keeps you focused on him, not on the trouble that continues. That's our God. That's the hope that we have. That's the light that we have. That's the strength. I believe in this church. I believe in you. I believe in this church. I believe in the Word of God. I believe that you can tell one person a day about the Bible. One person a day about the church. You're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. You're telling people. You're saying a lot of things. But do you say anything about church? About God? Maybe that's what they need. Instead of arguing or like retaliating, like the Bible says, you're supposed to be harmless as doves. Instead of retaliating, say, why don't we get together and talk? Why don't we share love and share forgiveness and compassion? I believe my church has the answer. I believe the church has the answer because the church preaches the word of God. I believe that's where the answer lies. I don't believe Satan. I don't believe what he teaches. I don't believe what he tells us. He's the father of lies. If Jesus said the harvest is ready, I believe it. If he said we can go out and receive it, I believe it. If he said he taught us not to stumble, I believe it. If he taught us the way to go, I believe it. This morning, I believe. In Jesus' name. Give him praise, church.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise your own creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen and amen. The offering at your church, giving to your church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful offering, for the givers, Lord, for those who came to church on this cold morning when we turned the clocks ahead. They came, Lord. I pray that they receive much more than they thought they were going to. I pray that they receive a spirit stronger when they leave. I pray, Lord, that they want to do more for you. Those blessings are waiting. They're right out there waiting. You told us how to go get them. Just go get that harvest. It's ready. Lord, I believe in this church. I believe in your word. I believe we have the truth. I believe we have the hope, Lord. I believe if somebody is hungry, they will come and eat. If somebody is lost, Lord, they will come to the light. Honey, if somebody is lost and in need, they will find us. If somebody is afraid, they will come. They will come to this body, this church, as we preach your word, Father God. Your word, nobody else's. Nobody else's opinion, Lord. Your word will preach in here, Lord. And stand strong on the word of God. We give you this offering, Lord. I ask you to bless those who have given, Lord. And just shake this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. We have a lot to be excited about. We have a lot to be faithful for. We have a lot to be given for. We have a beautiful testimony with Marilyn today. With a beautiful testimony to hang our hats on downstairs as we share each other. Because when one prayer is answered, that gives you faith to know your prayer is right there, ready to be answered. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the United States of America. Lord, we ask you to bless it and keep us safe and keep us free, Lord, as we look upon you, Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless America. Thank you, young fella. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, wipe it for.